This week, been a lot of things going on actually in the last couple of weeks that I think should be of interest to the church world, not just to our body here in Columbia, Tennessee, but to the church world wherever they may be. And a lot of times, it's unfortunate, I think a lot of Christians don't pay attention to what's going on in the world around them. I had a pastor friend years ago that said, I never listen to the news or read the newspaper because it's all too depressing. But you know what? You've got to know what's taking place in the world around you. You ever hear the old saying, they're too heavenly minded to be any earthly good? And that's what happens with some people. All they can do is they can say, oh, bless God, and all these things. But they don't pay attention to what's going on in the world around them. And God can't even really use them the way He would like to because they're not paying attention. And sometimes we have to be aware of what is going on. So just a few things I wanted to share with you this morning as part of the message today. Belarus. How many know where that's at? Well, it's part of the former Soviet Union, okay? I'm not sure of the exact geographical spot it's at, but it's part of the former Soviet Union. A church was raided, the pastor arrested, and in some case, members detained without explanation. Now, this is a place where supposedly religious freedom was once again being restored. Kazakhstan, it's in Asia. Hundreds of churches being deregistered. Minimum requirement for registration now 50 members. But they say the problem is some people are afraid to sign their name that they're a registered member because they fear persecution. Jos, Nigeria. Suicide bombers attacked worship service of the Church of Christ in Nigeria, killing one, injuring dozens. Tehran, Iran. An Armenian believer and an elder in the Narmark Church Assembly of God allowed out on bail after arrest. His crime? Showing acts of mercy by visiting the sick in the hospital, the lonely, and the forgotten. That's a crime. And these incidents happen in just the past 2 weeks. Recently, also in the last couple of weeks, two Iranian warships entered the Mediterranean Sea among some supposition that they might have nuclear weapons on board. There have also been reports that Iran may have missiles capable of reaching the U.S. in 2 to 3 years. The Stonegate Institute report in October 2010 that Iran is planning to place medium-range missiles on Venezuelan soil, in our own hemisphere. Not our own hemisphere, but our own part of the world. That's in the southern hemisphere. But anyway, those are just a few things that are going on around us that affects us, and it affects us as Christians. Last week's message was Sound the Alarm, and as Christians, we need to be alert to what's going on in the world around us and preparing for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. We need to be letting the world know that this is about to happen, that Jesus is coming back. And I know that for centuries, people have preached that Jesus is coming again. And they preached He's coming again. And some people have kind of become hardened to the message that Jesus is coming again. But if we are aware of what the Scripture has to say and what is going on in the world around us, we know His return is imminent. Does that mean it will happen today? Well, it could. But it may not be till tomorrow or a few years from now. I don't know. But you know what? In God's calendar, even 10 years from now is imminent. He's coming back. We are told by Scripture in several places that He will come as a thief in the night. Anybody ever had a thief break into your house? Yeah. I remember many years ago, we were renting a house, and That particular Wednesday night, our church did not have service because of a special event that was going on. We had rescheduled it to Thursday night. But at the time we normally left for church, we got in the car and we drove away for a little bit. We were gone maybe 30 minutes. We come back, and during that time, a thief had broken into our house. In fact, he was still in the house when we came through the front door, they believe. And they believe he hurriedly went out the back as we came in the front. He wasn't expecting us to come, and we weren't expecting him to come. So a thief comes when you least expect it. And Jesus says, and it's written here in 1 Thessalonians 5:2, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Unexpectedly. 1 Thessalonians 5:4, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief." He's saying if you are Christians, if you are born-again believers, if you have Jesus Christ in your heart, you are in fellowship with Him, you're in that relationship with Him, then this is not going to catch you unawares because you're expecting Jesus to come. And when that shofar sounds, you're going to be listening for it because you know it's going to happen. But to those that are not paying attention to what's going on, that don't know what the Word of God has to say, that don't know what's going on in the world around them, it will come and it will take place and they will be caught unaware because it will come as a thief in the night. It goes on in Revelation chapter 3 verse 3, "Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee." We have been warned. He is coming, but if we are not ready, we'll miss out. Now, if you're a born-again believer, if you're in that relationship with Jesus Christ, you're going to be watching. You're going to be preparing yourself for the fact that He's coming. And what should we be doing as good stewards of the Word of God? We should be telling others that Jesus is coming and He's coming soon. We need to be declaring unto the world that He's coming and that He is coming soon. We need to be ready. Going back to some current events. Just a few weeks ago, the New York Times ran a story, and basically it was headlined, "Will Israel Attack Iran?" This has just been in the last few weeks. There are a number of stories of that possibility occurring this year. My wife heard on some program just the other day that they have speculation that this could happen by the middle of 2012. So it could happen. Well, what is the importance of that event? Well, we think about, here in the United States, it could possibly cut off our oil supply from the Middle East. It could do things like that. And we think about how it's going to affect our pocketbook. And I understand that. Every time you pull into the gas station and you see the price of gas go up, your pocketbook gets pinched a little bit more. And some other things that you might have wanted to do, you can't do because you got to pay it out in gas. So yes, it affects us that way, but that's not all that we need to be concerned about. That's not all that we need to be watching out for, because the Bible is telling us this is a sign of the things that are going to take place just before Jesus returns. I want to point out to you, for some folks may not realize it, that modern day Iran was formerly known as Persia. In fact, the Iranian people still call themselves Persians. And to the people living there, it's still Persia. Well, a lot of prophetic Bible teachers teach that there will be a rebirth of the Roman Empire. But they seem to forget in some of their teaching that the Roman Empire was very massive. And a lot of their teaching center around, well, it will happen in Europe. All of these things will transpire in Europe. But if it's the Roman Empire expands all the way out to Iraq and portions of Iran at its largest point. Another country that was included in that part of the Roman Empire was the nation of Turkey. And we really don't hear a whole lot about Turkey in the news. But it's a very great possibility, in my opinion, in my point of view, that the Antichrist could come out of the country of Turkey. Because the last caliphate, or caliphate, however you want to pronounce it, was in Turkey. And they want the rebirth of this caliphate or caliphate. And they want that leader to be reestablished in Turkey. So a lot of these things, as we're looking, we become so westernized in our way of thinking that we forget that the Bible was written by people who were living in the East, people with an Eastern mindset. They never heard of the United States of America. They never heard of this whole continent before. So when they're thinking about it, they're thinking about it a little bit differently. And a lot of people from that part of the world understand some of Bible prophecy maybe a little bit better than we as Western Christians do. Because they know how these things came down the pike. They know how some of these things happen. Well, what is going on in that part of the world that was part thousands of years ago of the Roman Empire that we now call Iran, Iraq, Turkey? Many are waiting for the return of the 12th Imam, the Mahdi, a person that they believe was born in 869 AD and did not die, but was rather hidden by, in the copy I got here, it says God. I want to correct that to say Allah. That he would later emerge with Isa, Jesus, in order to fulfill the mission of bringing peace and justice to the world. He assumed this position of Imam at 5 years of age. And there are people who believe he's hiding in a well in a particular part of the world, and some come and offer prayers to him and throw a little prayer request down to him and messages and coins and things like that that happen. So they believe that all of this is going. You know, it's interesting that Islamic prophecy somewhat mirrors Christian Bible prophecy in the fact that they have a lot of the same events taking place. They are just the opposite view. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Bible tells us it is, that he is the Son of God, whereas Islamic prophecy tells us that Jesus Christ was a prophet, but he was not the Son of God, and that he will come back and declare to the world that this 12th Imam, this Mahdi, is the Messiah. He is the one that they are to follow after. There's a lot of information on these things on various websites. A lot of them are Arabic, and they will give you that information as to how they believe these things are going to happen. Many of them believe that between 2014 and 2019 is when the 12th Imam will appear. Those who are waiting for a European Antichrist who will start out peacefully and so on, well, they may be wrong. He may be an Arab Antichrist. He may come out of Turkey. I don't know for sure. And I don't think anybody really 100% knows for sure. But we do know this. These events are in the process of taking place. I can tell you this with great assurity, I believe, that he is alive and well today and living somewhere in that part of the world. And he is in the position of getting the strength together he needs to assume this position and take this place of leadership. There are those who want to bring his return quickly, and one of those being the current leadership of the country of Iran, which believes that by bringing about a nuclear holocaust, they can speed the return of the Mahdi and then bring about this peace. And guess who they want to wipe out in this nuclear holocaust? That's why we need to be paying attention, folks. Oh, we think, well, they want to wipe out Israel. I got news for you. They want to wipe us out too. In fact, they'd just as soon wipe us out as Israel, and I don't think they really care which one comes first. Israel's closer, most likely they'd try it first. And I think biblically speaking, and we look at what the Bible has to say, it shows us that's what they will try first. But they want us gone too. Israel is the little Satan, we are the great Satan. You didn't know you were being called the devil, did you? But we are. Is the Mahdi the Antichrist? I believe absolutely so. Because he is the polar opposite of everything that Jesus the Christ is. He is the polar opposite. He has declared that he will bring with him Jesus, who will then announce to the world that he was a phony, that he was not the Son of God, that he misled people. I got news, folks, that ain't gonna happen. And for those folks that might be hearing this message in some other part of the world, if you're looking for that to happen, it ain't going to happen. Jesus, Yeshua, the Christ, the one that we talk about that declared himself to be the Son of God, is the Son of God, and he will make himself known as the Son of God. And the Bible tells us the day will come that every knee shall bow and every knee shall worship that he is Lord. Here's what God's word has to say, and I'm talking about Yahweh God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Jews, the God of the Christians, the one that I serve. Here's what he has to say in his word in 2 Timothy 2:18. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. And there are a lot of folks out there that have that Antichrist spirit. And those who are seeking to bring these things to pass have that Antichrist spirit. And we see it taking place in our own nation today. And a lot of people as Christians are not awake enough to know that it is going on, that there's an Antichrist spirit running rampant in this country. Just recently, and this was in the newspaper, a man, and I don't know where in the world this was at, it wasn't in the U.S., but a man was attacked, and it may have been in the U.S. I believe it was. I've forgotten the exact article. And I believe this man was in the United States. And he dressed up, apparently, representing the Prophet Muhammad. A Muslim man attacked him and severely beat him before the police pulled him off of the other man. Videotapes of this taking place. It goes to court, stands before the judge, and the judge declared, well, the guy who was attacked was offensive, and the guy was within his rights to do it. That happened here in America because he insulted Muhammad. That happened here. You talk about an Antichrist spirit is taking place in this world. It's taking place, and it's taking place in high places. It's going on all the time. You can get up and you can do your spiel, you can do your song, you can do your dance about anything that you want to, but if you bring God into anything that you have to say or Jesus Christ, you're put down. Because they don't want to hear that anymore. The Antichrist does not want to hear about Jesus Christ. 1 John 2:22 then says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. The Bible tells us anybody that gets up and says that Jesus is not the Christ, that he is not the Son of the living God, then the Bible tells us he is a liar and he is an antichrist. So yes, there's an antichrist spirit that is running rampant in the world today. Goes on and tells us in 1 John 4:3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of the antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. That antichrist spirit's been around since the days of the apostles, but it's more rampant today than it's ever been in history, because the devil knows, Satan knows that his days are numbered and that Jesus is coming back to take charge. 2 John 1:7 says, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Well, how many have heard of the Dome of the Rock? One of the most sacred places in Islam. Inscribed, and they will proudly tell you so, inscribed within the Dome of the Rock are these words in Arabic, God has no son. And that I rest my case. John writes in Revelations chapter 1, verses 10 through 11, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. John, as he is writing now, says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. God began to speak to me. And he proceeds, as he is told here, to write in the book, writes what is now divided into 22 chapters regarding the vision that God gave him. And in the first three chapters, he addresses specifically the seven churches of Asia. And all of these seven churches of Asia have represented the church throughout the church history. And we're living in that church age now that is about to come to a close. You see, because beginning with chapter 4, he goes on to the things that take place just prior to the return of Jesus Christ. The events that will take place in what we call the tribulation period, the great tribulation period. Revelations chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, and it says, and this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Well, what an experience John had there. Standing there in the presence of God Almighty, as he is being given this revelation of the things that will transpire just prior to the time that Jesus Christ makes his bodily, physical, triumphant return to planet Earth. Oh, the devil thought he killed him back 2,000 years ago, and he rose from the dead, upset his apple cart quite a bit there. Then 40 days later, he ascended back into the heavens. And the devil says, well, he's out of sight now. Out of sight, out of mind type thing, you know. And I'm going to run rampant again. But Jesus is coming back, and this time Satan's going to get his due. Amen. And he knows it's going to take place. The devil knows the Bible better than you and I do. Amen. So he says these things are going to start to take place. And from that point, he writes of things to come. Things that we are seeing fulfilled before our very eyes. If we pay attention to what's going on around us, we know when we watch and listen and hear and see these things, this is what John was talking about. These are the things that are taking place. And depending upon your point of view, whether you're pre-trib, mid-trib, or pan-trib, which is a new term I heard of recently, which means it'll all pan out. It doesn't matter on that. These things are going to take place. And of course, that pre-trib, mid-trib, so on, is depending on when the rapture takes place. But these things are all going to happen. They're going events that are going to come to place. Now, there are some who teach that we're already in a portion of these events. And we, if you look around, you begin to see, yes, we see these things taking place. We see some of these things taking. Christians in other parts of the world, I got news for you. They think and they know they're in tribulation right now. They're being persecuted beyond what any Christian has been persecuted since the days of the early church. So it's going on. It's happening. It's taking place. And they see it happening. Some of the things that have not happened yet, but we can look forward to seeing in the very near future, I believe, because it says that man, perdition, the Antichrist, the man of sin, will come on the scene and he'll want to make peace with Israel. And there'll be a peace treaty signed. You read the paper, listen to the news. They're talking about trying to get some kind of peace, some kind of peace treaty into place. But also goes on to tell us it's a peace treaty that will not last. The devil has not kept his word since the beginning of the book. He has not spoken the truth, at least the whole truth, since the beginning of the book. And I qualify that because sometimes partial truth is used to deceive people. And there are a lot of people who have been deceived and have fallen into cults and to various types of false religions because there was partial truth involved that made it sound good. And then once they got sucked in, it was harder, in some cases too late, to get out. Some of the stuff, and I'm not going to take a stand right here one way or the other, pre-trib, mid-trib, pan-trib. I just know that Jesus is in charge of things. God's in charge. It's all going to work out. And I can tell you that much. I can also tell you this much. It's going to happen. It's going to happen very soon. Will it happen in 2012? I don't know. It could. It could happen next year. But it's going to happen soon. That trumpet's going to sound. Some people may say, well, why, preacher, do you keep harping on this stuff all the time? And I know in the last couple of years we've had a lot of messages about this. Why do you keep after it? There's a very good reason. Because number one, I want to be ready. And I want you to be ready as well. I want everyone that I can possibly get to listen to me to be ready for the time that that trumpet sounds. And whether it's the trumpet where the dead in Christ rise first and we go to meet him in the air at the time of the rapture, or whether it's the trumpet as he comes, or all the things that happen when he comes back victorious, I want you to be ready to be a part of that. I want you to be ready. I want you to be a part of heaven. I don't want you to have to spend an eternity in hell. Because you see, as we preached on a couple of weeks ago, eternity is forever. There is no end to it. And I know there are some out there who have been preaching a doctrine recently that I think comes out of the very pits of hell, is that hell is not forever. And scripturally, if you want to get down to semantics, they're right. Because the Bible says that death, hell, and the grave will be cast into the lake of fire that burneth forever and forever. So that's what you've got to look forward to if you go to hell, is eventually being cast into the lake of fire that burneth forever and ever. But partial truths. Jesus said it was going to take place that way. You're either for him or you're against him. You either make that decision to be in fellowship with Jesus, be in a relationship with him, or you make the choice to not so. Say, no, don't want to be a part of it. Are you in a relationship with Jesus Christ today? Is he your Savior? Have you invited him into your heart? Have you said, Lord, I surrender all? Just like the words of that old song that we don't hear sung too much anymore, I surrender all. All to thee I give, my precious Savior. I surrender all. There are a lot of people who claim to be Christians today, but they haven't surrendered all. They haven't let Jesus Christ into their heart. Oh, they've had that, I go to church on Sunday, and maybe I'm even on the board of the church, but I haven't surrendered all, and I don't have that relationship. And if you're listening to me today and you do not have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, today is the day. The moment you hear this message, it's time. It's time to say, Jesus, I believe. I surrender. Come into my heart, come into my life, and make me one of your children. And I thank you now, Jesus, for coming into my heart and into my life. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. And Father, today as we conclude this message, Father, wherever it's heard at, Father, I pray that it would touch hearts and lives. And Father, that people would surrender their life to Jesus Christ. And I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.